Welcome to the National Federation of the Blind's 2025 Senior Retreat, a time for empowerment, connection and growth. A special thanks to Janie Degenshain, Zoom administrator, and her team for a seamless retreat. Your dedication makes this event possible. Thank you for joining us on this journey.
Lunch, lunch, it's time for lunch, lunch, it's time to munch, crunch, eat a bunch, it's time for lunch, not brunch.
I'm starving.
Lunch, lunch, it's time for lunch, lunch, it's time to munch, crunch, eat a bunch, it's time for lunch, not brunch.
Eat
some cheese, peas, broccolis, hey. Greens, beans, tangerines, oh. Jerky, turkey, stop your worky, stop. Lemon, lo mein, and lima beans, chicken fajita, hummus and pita, ravioli, guacamole.
What else?
Homemade cupcake, milkshake, earthquake, it's time to take a break for lunch.
All right, we are now in our break, and everyone, you know, I said we could come back to the subjects like the cane travel stuff that we were just getting into and the hearing things. You can discuss anything you want. If you want to get lunch, you should do it and bring it. And I'm going to ask Janie, I'd like to split the hour with you.
And you would?
Yes, and one of us could go eat first or whatever it is you do, and that's what I'm going to do, and then you get, so.
I'm going to be here for the whole hour, because I was nibbling on mute during the presentation.
Oh, okay.
I can stay for the whole hour. I don't know about Sandy, but I can stay.
No.
All right, well, you guys can work it out. I'll be back though by 1:30 before. Well, maybe before. I mean, I don't know how long.
No, enjoy what you're eating and take your time. And
if everybody wants to know what I had, I'll tell you later.
Uh-oh.
I don't know yet.
Oh, boy.
Jennifer's still talking about that Hungarian goulash or whatever that you were doing a couple of years ago.
Oh my goodness.
This is Judith.
Yes, Judith.
I'm going to be leaving for the afternoon. Could you just tell me what you're going to be discussing this afternoon?
So I can tell you what the 3:00 is. The 3:00 session is Anne-Marie Harris, who had vision, lost some vision, and now went totally blind pretty much overnight. And that was only in November. And what the tools and techniques she used to get through all of that. And she's going to be talking about that. And the 4:00 session is Sandy. Sandy, you want to talk about yours, hon?
Sure.
Oh, no, no.
After I unmute.
No, 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 no.
Oh, stop.
Oh, no, no.
Every time I unmute, my computer says I'm unmuted. I mean, I'm muted. It just lies to me. I am going to talk about all kinds of things around knitting.
Oh, okay.
Glenn asked me to talk about that, and I will try to make it as fun and interesting as I know how to do it, and I'm sure that there will be others who will help me in this craft sort of adventure.
Thank you very much. Okay, I got to go now. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, is there anybody that wants the floor to speak? If you didn't get a chance to speak during the one or first period or second period lessons.
Sandy, you said you were, quote, nibbling on mute, period. Yeah, what were you nibbling on? What were you nibbling on, Jane?
Oh, what was I nibbling on? I was nibbling on Magic Spoon low-carb cereal. If you've never had it, it's got very low carbs, and it's delicious. It's like Reese Puffs you can get, and it's pretty low-calorie as well. Chocolate they have a honey, they're modeled after all the Kellogg's ones that have tons of cereal. So there's like a Fruity Pebbles one, but then there's a Honey Nut Cheerios one and that kind of thing. So that's what I was nibbling on, and a little cup of coffee, and it's enough for the afternoon. So that's cool. And if nobody has anything to add, then my suggestion is, I've done this with the senior division and the senior group here in New Jersey for chat sessions in the summertime. We want to know more about you. So if you know what an alliteration is, you probably all do, but in case you don't, it's the letter that stays the same. So like Jovial Janie would work, or I hope other ones don't work, like Jerky Janie. But anyway, so what I'm asking you to do is tell me your first letter of your name, or don't even do that. Just say what your alliteration is for you. Remembered it. You can blurt out. This is the one you don't need to raise your hand at all, but wait for the floor because I might hear three names at once. So if anybody wants to start, I would love you to join in. Don't all jump at once. Let's go, folks.
Janie Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie, go.
I say assertive.
Assertive Anne-Marie. That's good. What does your husband Tim say about that? Never mind. Okay.
Well, he's not here, so no, what do they say? No complaints from the peanut gallery.
That's right. I would call you angelic Anne-Marie.
Oh, you're too sweet, Jean. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to turn? I love this. This is fun.
Janie, Elvin Sullivan.
What, Elvin Sullivan?
Yes. People call me that a lot. So
how about with Ellen? Do you have an E for Ellen? You know, because we're doing alliterations.
Elevate you? Ellen.
Elevate Ellen. I would call you energetic Ellen or enthusiastic Ellen. How about, I know what it is. Engaging. That's the word.
That's a real good one.
I like that one for you. Okay. Next.
Thank you.
So far we got two New Jerseyans. Let's go, other states. Come
How
on
about
now.
Shelly,
yes.
Yes. I've been short Shelly, or I could be silly Shelly. Anyway.
I go with sweet Shelly. Every time I talk to you, you always have a sweet voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else want to turn? No men have volunteered. They're all eaten.
They're all.
I think so. I don't know how many people are still in the room. So
this is Judy. My microwave is going for a few more minutes, so I've got
good.
One.
Good.
And mine is Jazzy Judy.
Ooh. Is it jazzy because you like jazz music, or are you into jazzy?
It's just the J thing. It doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Who was it? Oh, I thought somebody wanted the floor. Nobody else. Okay.
Well, so is there anyone, this is Judy, is there anyone who has questions that they didn't get to ask from this morning's session?
Yeah, this is Marion.
Marion.
I'm not exactly sure if someone over a Zoom or over a conference call can answer this. However, my challenge at this moment is feeling textures with the cane. I do a lot better now with the NFB cane than I had previously.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any trick to feeling different textures? I can go from like a concrete to a carpet, or asphalt to a carpet, but go from a concrete to an asphalt, I have difficulty.
This is Shelly.
Yes, Shelly.
Can you hear the difference of that at all? Go ahead.
As far as my travel is concerned, I go from my place, which is down a driveway, swing a left, go down the road, which is asphalt inside of my complex, and then there's the gutter, which is concrete. And I really can't hear the difference or feel the difference. And there's no neuropathy in my hands. I've had it checked out. So I don't know. I know the gutter is there because I go down a little bit.
Okay,
that's what right. I was going to ask, if there was any incline, because that will give you a heads up.
Right.
This is Judy. Does it matter? I mean, I'm recognizing you can't tell, but why do you need to know?
Thank you for asking that question, Judy, because I am told by other people that have vision loss that I should be able to feel the differences in textures.
Well, but
this is Anne-Marie, and I can tell you in some cases it does matter, because I've had it be an issue for me where they had the end of the sidewalk or a driveway that just blended right into the street. Right. So if you're not aware, you're in the street before you even know it.
And that is a problem that I have encountered on numerous occasions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's different. So, but your particular situation where you live, I wouldn't worry about it because you found the drop off a different way than recognizing the texture. And I understand that doesn't solve the other time because I've walked in the street myself not knowing that I had done it. And I guess I've just accepted that. I hope that I'd say if as long as I'm not hearing traffic, guess I won't worry about it.
Okay.
Well, this is
I'm sorry. Can I ask one more quickie?
Sure.
It has snowed in Rochester, which is for this year it was different. I was trying to shoreline to the bottom of my driveway so that I could put both my receptacles to be picked up, and I found that I could not tell the difference between my driveway covered with snow and my shoreline, which is grass or rocks covered with snow. Is there any
hint
that you
can
give on
that problem?
Yeah.
I did have that problem.
So there is no unique answer to that one.
There probably is, but I'm going from low vision mobility instruction to blindness mobility instruction, and I'm going to have to ask my instructor because I don't know. It just happened to me last week.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
This is Shelley.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi. As far as putting your receptacle out there, I know that with snow, I've lived in snow a lot, so I know what you're talking about. Is there maybe a difference you can feel in a, like where it's raised, maybe up on the curb? And it might not be if the snow's all piled up there, that is for sure. Sometimes it's just kind of hard. I guess I was thinking of both what your feet are feeling as well as what your cane is doing.
Right.
And sometimes you can feel things with your feet a little bit as well as what your cane is actually feeling. Sloping down, being more packed, maybe where the driveway is compared to fluffier snow where the up on the curb where you need to put your receptacles, something of that nature. I don't know. That sounds a little tricky. I'd have to be there. I'd have to be there as well.
Okay, thank you.
This is Vincent.
Go ahead, Vincent.
Well, you know, what I do when there's snow, and fortunately here in central New Jersey, we haven't had that much, but normally what I do is I have boots that go just below my knees, snow boots. So that's what I wear when I go outside, you know, and mainly because sometimes there are accumulations that may be, you know, 12 inches or more. So that gives me also, you know, by wearing boots, it also gives more permanence to my ankle. So I don't, you know, twist my ankle or anything like that. But the other thing that I do is instead of using the blind cane, one of my sons gave me a regular cane, a walking stick made out of wood. And that's what I use when I go out. And mainly because that one I can, you know, push down and find out where the snow is, you know, where the steps are. Because, then, you know, there are a few steps that I have to go through. Mm-hmm. And if I don't pay attention to that, then I can fall. And I have fallen in snow. And that hasn't been fun at all.
I bet. Oh, boy. Thank you, Vincent.
Thank you.
Anybody else with a question or comment?
You know, Jane, this morning when, or I should say this afternoon, when people were talking about the cane or the hearing aid and worrying about, which it's human nature to worry about what people think. We all do that to some degree. But what I can tell you, I was using a cane every day for 6 years with low vision because there was change in my depth perception. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you more times than not, and I've brought this up in my chapter, and you could have heard crickets. But more times than not, people didn't even know what the cane was. And they give the attitude because you're blocking their way. I've had that. Mm-hmm. And I think because they would look at me and think I could see, or I had, and both me and my sister have experienced this, I've had an airline attendant try to take it from us on the plane. And no, you're not taking it. I need it. So I think we have to do what we can to make other people aware. Use it as a moment to say, hey, this is my white cane because I have low vision or blindness.
Yep.
That for me, that's how I feel about it. Because, you need it and other people have to accept you. You don't have to accept what they need.
Well,
sometimes that's harder. Yeah, it's just a hard pill to swallow sometimes.
I've had people come to my echo meetings, which is eyes closed, hearts open, and, bump into things. And I'm like, well, where's your cane? This is about 8 years ago. The girl's name was Andrea. You don't know who she is, and that's fine.
She's
delightful. But she said the same thing. She said, Jane, I need to learn mobility skills, but I can't do it in my apartment complex. I'm like, well, why? That's the first place you want to know. She said,
yeah, you want to be safe where you live. Yeah.
Nobody knows I can't see. I said, well, until you feel comfortable with who you are and now what you see and don't see, everybody else is going to be uncomfortable around you. The karma is there. The feeling is there. So I taught her in my driveway. She did very well there. And then I called her up and said, did you use your cane by your apartment? She said, no. I said, okay, we're coming over. So my husband drove me up there and I called her and I rang the doorbell and she came out and I said, get your cane. She said, I can't. I said, I have a cane and I can walk with you and I'm going to walk with you whether you have your cane or not. I forced her hand. And guess what? She came out with the cane and she was looking like she had, like Carrie, her head goes all the way around 360. She was looking everywhere. Oh my God, I hope nobody sees me. So of course, hey, Andrea, how you doing? I said, she's doing just fine. This is her first mobility. I embarrassed her. I don't know if she was thrilled about it or not, but she called me later on, thought she was going to curse me out. She said, Jane, you did me the biggest service I could have ever had.
Oh, that's awesome. She felt that way.
She was frightened at the beginning. But then when she got confident, a couple of her neighbors came out. They walked with us. What do you mean? I didn't know. We can help you. We can take you to the store. I mean, she ended up getting a good group of people with her. And so I don't know if that's going to work for everybody. But I was determined to get her out. She's a very sweet person. And I knew she'd, get a new family of people. And that's how it works. You just have to be comfortable in your own skin because if you're not, the feeling will, fend off to other people. Who else?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amory, don't say too much because you're talking at 3:00. Oh, Mary Jo, it's good to have you on the call. I see that you joined us. I just changed.
It's good to be here, Jane.
Good, honey. That's great.
It's just so cool that everybody shares and there are things that you go, oh, wow, I didn't think about it that way. Or, it's just a cool thing.
We had a discussion one time a couple of years ago about things that are, I don't know if you want to say entitled, that blind people are allowed to do. One of them is, if you didn't know, you're allowed to get the bulkhead seats on an airplane as long as they're available for you and your attendant. So if you didn't know that, when you make your reservation, and then you have to either call back and say, I'm blind, I want to sit in the bulkhead seat. Now, the reason I like that, A, is because it's right there. B, I get to use the front bathroom. C, I can get right off. And D, there's extra leg room. And they charge you no extra money. Other people don't like that for many reasons. So that's a nice conversation we can have. Did you know that you can get those bulkhead seats? And would you use them?
I didn't know. Now, I had it given to me one time on a plane, but I think because the booking was made with my vision loss and they thought I might have a service animal, that's why I thought they did it. But maybe not. Maybe whoever did it said, this was years ago, but maybe the person thought, well, she's entitled to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is Vincent.
Yes, honey, go ahead.
Well, you know, I don't take the bulkhead seat mainly because many times there is a an exit where the bulkhead is, and it is better to have, you know, people that have all their you know, their abilities in case of an emergency. I've never had an emergency, but you know, I still every time before I board a plane, I check what type of plane mm-hmm. you're going to be using.
Right.
And I know exactly where all the exits are. I know how many rows to the front exit and how many right. rows to the back exit. Right. Always. But also, you know, when you were talking about, you know, the people in the neighborhood knowing yes. that one is blind. I don't have any problems. I go outside sometimes and, you know, to shovel snow. And usually what happens is that neighbors will come up and help me. Right. I mean, sometimes they have even done it for me, but what it fosters is, you know, better knowledge and more communication with your neighbors. You know, some mm-hmm. of them, one may not even talk to, we may not even know their names many times,
right.
but just, you know, knowing that they're there. And like mm-hmm. somebody else, you know, said before, they will offer, you know, I have their phone numbers. And they have told me if I ever need anything, whatever there's a problem or whatever, you know, to get in touch with them. So, you know, once again, it's just realizing what one's reality is, realizing that in order, you know, independence is a nice word, but we live in a world with other people, and we, you know, to a certain extent, can always be of help to one another, one way or you know, the other.
Right. And sometimes, you know, by not being, quote, independent, I mean, my definition of independence is when I need to have help, I ask for it. And when I don't need it, I don't. And I'm the one that figures that out. Nobody exactly. figures that out for me but me.
Exactly.
And the reality is, if I need help or assistance or somebody says, can I help you? And even if I don't, if it's a person on the street that wants to help me, I'll say, sure. And I'm a teacher by nature, and I use it as a learning experience. No, I need to hold your elbow, you know, so you can lead me, because if I lead you, I have no idea where we're going. So, and they laugh, you know, but they don't know lots of stuff. And so that's a good teaching experience. The other thing I tell the groups that I work with is you're representing yourself. You're representing the blind community. If people have never seen a blind person before and you freak out when they say, can I help you? I don't need your help. I can do this myself. Oh, she's miserable because she's blind. She gets irritable. No. So I always think about before I react, what would a blind community of people want me to act like? And that's how I handle everything. And you can do however you want, but that's one thing. And on Vincent, on your comment about shoveling, I want to tell a story about my brother, Joe Ruffalo, who has passed. May 3rd will be 3 years. He went out shoveling in Belleville. He always was out there, and he's very jovial, and he's outside and he's shoveling. He's talking to the neighbor, this and that. Hey, Joe, how you doing? The neighbor goes in. He's still talking. The neighbor never told him he went in. Joe's having a conversation with no one for 20 minutes. So Judy, his wife, goes up, Joe, what are you doing? He goes, I'm talking whatever that guy's name is. I'm talking to John next door. There's nobody else. There isn't. So anyway, that was one of the stories. And the other story was the neighbor was out the next time when it was snowing. And Joe goes, let me know when you go in. So I'm not talking to myself. So the neighbor goes, I'm going in. So then Joe's shoveling and shoveling and shoveling. And a plow truck comes down the street. And he beeps at Joe. So Joe goes, yes, sir. What do you need? He goes, you're plowing the street. You're supposed to be plowing your driveway. So after that, my brother would take out his little radio, plug it in the porch, put it on the front stoop, and have the radio blasting. So we always knew where his front steps were. I thought that was a brilliant idea.
That's a great idea.
It is a good idea.
I just wanted to share. Sometimes out of funny stories or uncomfortable stories come good solutions.
Yeah,
so don't be
Bob.
Afraid and embarrassed. Things happen yeah. and you'll figure it out. And if you don't, your neighbor will help you. Next, who wants the floor? I talked enough.
This is Bob.
Go ahead, honey.
Hi. When I shovel, when it snows, I use the shovel itself like a cane.
Yes.
So that I can, because my steps are all, they're different widths.
Yes.
So they're narrow near the house and very wide farther away. So I use the Got cane, it. I mean, yeah. a shovel like a cane.
They're
so
very
that I
good.
Don't flip off. And I think I like, I haven't gotten a white cane yet and I haven't tried it in the neighborhood, but like Joe, I see people on the street and I'll hear voices and I'll think they're talking to me and I'll be saying hello to people who aren't there who are talking to each other.
Oh yeah.
So it'd be nice to have a white cane to say, all right, this guy's just not nuts. He's visually impaired.
That's right. I went to a PTA meeting once and I, you know, had my regular glasses on and I could hear people's voices, of course. So my face is towards them. And I left the room and the one lady said to the other woman, that Janie Degenschein is really unsocial. She didn't even, she never waved back at us. And I heard her and I went in the room and I went, I didn't wave back to you because I didn't see you. They thought I was like being rude. I didn't see them. Then I realized I better bring my cane to these meetings. And then once I did that, what? You can't see? I said, no. And you know, that's why it's important because that you get, they get the wrong picture about who you are.
Right.
You'll get the right picture with a cane. And if you treat yourself and your cane as your best friend, and we can talk about, maybe tomorrow we'll talk about how we deal with our blindness with our grandchildren or children or neighborhood kids that are little. 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6.
Oh, that's my granddaughter once came up to me and she said, can you see my face? Because I'm part, you know, I've And she goes, can you see my face? And I said, yeah, here's your nose, here's your eyes. But that was her way of dealing with it, I guess. Because
yes.
They kept saying, watch out for grandpa, he doesn't see so well.
Oh.
So
yep.
She was very funny.
Well, Shelly and I did 2 grandparenting units, Shelly, right? For the National Senior Conference calls or conversations, I think we call them now. Shelly and I did grandparenting 101 and grandparenting
2. Yes, we did. Yeah, we
and
did.
They were fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's funny.
Yeah, good.
It's funny how they process things.
Yeah.
Gloria?
Yes, honey, go ahead.
Yes, I had 2 experiences I wanted to share.
Absolutely.
One, well, on the airline, I did not know that you could get the bulkhead seat. Okay. But I was on the airline and I had my rigid cane. Mm-hmm. So I got on, and as I was going down the aisle, the stewardess said to me, you can't take that with you. Let me check it for you. So.
Mm-hmm.
To her, I said, no, you cannot check it because I need it because, you know, I'm blind. But she said, well, I'm sorry, but we have to check it. At that time, another stewardess walked up and she said to her, oh, no, I will take care of her. So she walked me to the seat and then she took the can and she put it overhead. And she said, it's right here. So I thought, okay, well, when the plane stopped, now I'm going to have to get up and try to find, hopefully my plane didn't go all the way to the back.
Right, right.
To my surprise, one of the passengers opened up, before I could get up, he opened up and he said, miss, here is your can.
Yes.
He got it, you know, and I was, you know, really surprised about that. Of course, you know, I thank him, that was fine.
Of course,
but
yes.
in my neighborhood, when the paratransit, you know, picks me up and take me where I have to go. So this morning, the lady came and she knocked on my door. You know, I came out and I got anywhere on our way. And she said to me, you won't believe what your neighbor said to me. And I can't imagine what my neighbor would say to her.
Right.
And he was like, he says, I'm waiting to see if you're going to go and get her. Because, you know, you guys drive up and there are some days y'all going to go and get her. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Y'all sit in your car. Don't you know she can't see? So and that surprised me because I never knew that, you know, that he paid that much attention. Yes, we speak to each other, but I never knew he paid that much attention to, you know, paratransit. Coming to get me and not coming to my door. I never knew that. So that was also another like
pleasant light bulb moment. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, wow. You know, well, so.
There are nice people around.
Yes.
There are nice people around.
And the friendlier you are and the happier you are with your own life makes other people feel more comfortable. It really does.
Exactly. And I know. And something else I can say, if you don't mind. When
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I, you know, at the point when I find out that, you know, I was definitely losing my, you know, sight, no problem, no change. But I was in denial. You know, I was running my own business. I was doing, you know, I'm not losing my sight because I can still see things. So I had the can. I got the can, but I was not using a can because no one needs to know that I'm losing my sight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the meantime, I'm walking into things.
Yep.
The sidewalk is slanted, but I see the sidewalk has a step. So, you know, instead of I'm stepping up and of course I'm pitching forward. My sister and I, we're out, you know, we're walking together and, you know, instead of holding her arm, I'm holding her hand and she steps down. And again, now I'm going forward and now she feels guilty about, you know, me hurting myself. And the same thing happened with my granddaughter. But the thing that made me get the can was I was going to the supermarket. And as I walked for the last time, I twisted my ankle. Now I'm hobbling into the store. And I said to myself, you know, my mom always said to us, try both before fall. And I said, you know, I got to stop this because if I don't, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the day I decided, you know what? Okay. I'm going to use this can. I'm going to learn how to use this can. And for me, that was my day.
Yep.
And
very good. Very good. Thank you for sharing all that. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Very good. This is what this is
Jennifer.
For. Jennifer, you have the floor, sweetie.
Thank you. Two things. One, I would just like to share with the group that the number one cause for ER admissions for seniors is falls.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everybody's aware of that or not, but that is the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I wanted to ask, and this is blindness related, I did not watch Saturday Night Live, but yesterday was their 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Did anyone on this call watch it?
I watched some of it. This is Shelley. I watched some of it.
Well, what happened on it?
I'll tell you. I'd like everybody's reaction to this, and maybe I'm overreacting. I only watched about the first half hour, and one of the skits was someone complaining, obviously an actor. He was seated across the street in the American Doll store because allegedly wherever the filming or presentation of Saturday Night Live was didn't have enough seats. So then they show the crowd, there is Julia Dreyfus sitting, and there's a huge dog in a chair next to her. And somebody said, is that your support animal? And she said, oh, no, my dog is blind. And then she proceeds to say to the dog, and the person sitting on your left is blah, 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 blah. And then she proceeded to tell the dog what was going on. I thought that was extremely inappropriate, personally, but that's me.
This is Musi.
Musi, go ahead.
I thought it was funny because she said, no, we had to cancel your seat because Julie said she was bringing her service animal. And then she said, oh, no, you have it wrong. I'm the service person. The dog is fine. It was just funny. I thought it was funny. And I loved the dog. The dog was beautiful.
The dog was beautiful. The dog was beautiful.
And the dog, yeah, I mean, to me, I thought it was very clever. And we're saying it brings attention that blindness is an issue.
Okay, and maybe I read it because that is a different way to look at it.
Anybody else want the floor? I thought there was somebody else that was trying to talk. No. Any other comments about Jen's statement? Okay, I don't know what to tell you, Jen. it's two sides of every story. Somebody thought it was hilarious and you thought it was distasteful. And that's why we have different opinions in the world. So, you know, as they say, one man's garbage is another man's treasure. So,
yeah.
Let's get back to the topic of making young kids feel comfortable around blind people. So one of the things I want to share is for my grandkids, I got them years ago a small cane from the NFB Independence Market. And I don't know if they still allow you to do that anymore, but at the time I ordered canes for my grandkids. And they would take their little cane, straight little cane, it was 29 inches. And I'd tell them to go down the hallway. They kept their eyes open, of course. I don't want them to go with their eyes closed because that's the worst thing you can do is close your eyes and say, now go. We get skilled and training and techniques. And if you tell somebody that, to just close their eyes and feel around, that's not really the right way to do it. So in the beginning, they just go down the hallway. They swipe left to right. They go down the hallway. Now they tap. Then when we get to spots, they'll tell me, what's this? That's the rug. What's this? That's the carpet. That's this. This is the hardwood floor, you know, those kinds of things. And then they're comfortable with the cane. Now they use my cane. I use a folding cane, the seven collapsible folding cane that fits in almost any purse. And I get a couple of them for myself and the kids use them because they're a little older. The other thing I do is I take my book player and I download books just for them. Like my granddaughter's into 39 clues. So I downloaded the 39 clues that were on Bard and we listened to them together. She brought the book here and she was reading while I was reading on my digital player. And then we discussed the chapter. So there's ways around it. You know, there's ways around it that you don't feel like you're left out. I do not read Braille. I know there's twin books. Shelley's talked to me about that a lot. Mm-hmm. And those are also very good. Anybody else have other things? I have a lot to share, but I want other people to share too. What are some of the things you do with younger children to make them feel comfortable around you?
This is Buddy. Shelly.
Shelly and then Buddy. Is it Shelly and then who?
Buddy.
Yes, very good. Shelly, go ahead.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt on a student, but another little thing that I do when they're old enough to understand vocabulary pretty good is talk about my eyes being broken. So that they kind of get the idea that my eyes don't work like sometimes toys get broken and they don't work very well. And mm-hmm. to me, that's kind of an analogy that they can relate to, comprehend.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I do have the twin vision books and that kind of stuff. And they're real helpful as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Did you want the floor next?
This is Buddy. I think.
Yeah, go ahead, Buddy.
I was just wanted to ask, what are twin books?
Shelly, you can take that. I can talk too, but you know more about it. Go ahead.
Okay. What it is a book that's a print book that's had the binding taken off and they separate the pages and they put Braille sheets in between the print books. And the Braille is kind of like a Mylar, not Mylar, maybe sort of like a Mylar plastic. And they Braille on it exactly what the print says, but they put it in between the on the print page so that a sighted child could read the print. Is that me making all that noise?
Somebody just joined us, I think, and there's a background noise. Could you please?
Okay. Me? Well, it's like where they've put inserts in between the pages so that you can still see the picture, you can read the print, but the Braille is there over the top of it. And the Braille actually has a little description of what the picture is. And then the print on the page is in Braille. And then they put a new binding on the book and the outside of the book has the title of it in Braille. And so it's called a twin vision. It's through the American Action Fund at the national office. And they have a program for people to join to where you can get a Braille book a month. It's a book of the month club. and they'll send you a Braille book, and it's to encourage grandparents to read to kids, or kids to, you know, for your blind grandchildren or sighted children to read to their grandparent, you know, back and forth, so that you know,
very good service.
Promotes the Braille and the print. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Who else wanted the floor? Mary Jo, did you want the floor?
Sure, I'll take it. I also used the Twin Vision books when my grandchildren were younger, and we used to, I don't know where I got this big book. I think it had different things about the moon and the stars and the states, and my one granddaughter used to say to me when she was little, read for me from the big book. and then she would look, you know, she would be looking at all the stuff. And the other thing that I did last year is I had the alphabet cards that the Federation gives out. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I would give them the card so that they, you know, I didn't know what they were going to do with it. And last year when we were opening Christmas presents, my younger granddaughter, Noelle, she says, I know this is mine because I could see, I could feel the two L's on there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So they, so, you know, they did pay attention.
That's great. Oh, well, my grandson, who was like six at the time, said, they call me Gigi. So he said, Gigi, we have a special birthday card for you. I said, you do? And they used puff paint. And they made it so that I could feel the letters. And so I started with H-A-P, happy birthday, Gigi. And I thought that was pretty ingenious. So, you know, you never know how you're going to affect the kids. The other thing I wanted to share is that the kids know that they put everything in my hand. So if they're talking about Percy or Thomas the Tank Engine, really? Can I feel that? And then I feel it. I wonder where the wheels are. They're right here on the bottom. How many wheels are there? Talk about a learning experience. I wonder what color this is. This one is green. And I do the same thing with the book player, the digital book player from the library, which we'll talk about on Wednesday on tech. You know, it has Braille on it, has different shapes, it has different colors, and they can, you know, without a cartridge in it, it tells you everything. This is the power off button. So now my grandkids can use the bookshelf, go from what book to book they want. Let's listen to Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat. All right, you can find it, we're going to listen. And that's how we do it. And then they're part of my world as opposed to me being always a part of their world. And I think that's where we need to help the little ones feel comfortable. Yes, Vincent, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's sort of a combination of what you were talking about, the, you know, books in Braille and printed. I play, in my family, all my grandchildren play chess and my children play chess. So I have an 11-year-old, and he started playing chess. So I play chess with him. So now, you know, I have to tell him what my moves are, telling him the piece that I'm moving, the column and the row.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is learning, but in the beginning, I was defeating him within the first 10 moves, he was losing the game. Now he has wisened up, and we have an interesting game. But once again, there is no mention. I mean, he knows that I'm blind, whenever mm-hmm. we go out, if nobody else is around, let's say we're going to a restaurant or something, and mm-hmm. we have to walk, and I don't know if it's to the front or the back or whatever it is, either him or one of my other grandchildren will come over and help me, and they always, much better than adults, they always, you know, offer, well, mm-hmm. one of them is, you know, shorter, so I use his shoulder,
right,
instead of grabbing his elbow, but they always know, and they always tell me about, you know, directions, about
yes.
forthcoming steps and things yes. like that. They are considerably more aware than many of my older friends, definitely, you know.
This is Musi.
Yes, go ahead, honey.
I just want to say something like what Vincent said. I have four nephews, but only one of them is excellent to go shopping with. You know, up and down the aisles, he tells me everything and what's on sale, and the others don't have the patience. So some people are better, and it's nice when they're related to you.
Yes. You
know? Yes.
No, that's true. Some kids, I mean, some kids have it. And some, so look at, do the same thing with adults. Some adults have it, and some
right,
adults don't.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I always say you got to know your customer and what you can expect from certain people. I had a sister who once said, "Jane, I have you," and I'm holding on to her elbow. And she didn't, she said, "You don't need your cane." I'm like, "I need my cane." "You don't need your cane. We have to carry this turkey." "All right." It was a frozen turkey. "We're going somewhere. We're donating it," whatever we were doing. So she's walking and she didn't account for my space next to hers. And I was walking a step behind her and she's walking and she walked me right into a mailbox, a metal giant mailbox.
Oh,
down I went.
God.
And Rose goes, "Oh, I forgot to tell you the mailbox was there." And I said, "Well, thanks a heap." Now, I went the same place with my granddaughter who was six, you know, a couple of weeks after that. And she said, "Gigi, watch out. There's a mailbox to our right." I said, "You know what? I think I know that. I met it once before and we had a friendly discussion." I don't know. So you never know. Sometimes kids that are six are better than adults that are 50. It's just the way it works, you know, and what they're aware of. So this who else would like the floor?
This is Judy. I have a question. I believe there's at least one person. Yesterday, we all introduced ourselves, and some of you may not have been there.
Oh, thank you.
This is your opportunity to introduce yourself if you were not there yesterday and you'd like to tell us no more than 2 minutes about yourself. That's what they all got.
That's right. It's like a headline and a subtitle, and that's it. Hurry up. Oh.
Yeah.
Is there anybody here who'd like to do that?
I could do it. I was not here yesterday.
Mary Jo, go ahead.
Yeah. My name is Mary Jo Partica. I've been blind since birth due to retinopathy prematurity. I was fortunate that I was able to go to the regular schools, went to college, got my master's, and I worked for the state of New Jersey for like 35 years. And now I'm just keeping busy by doing things for the Federation and a few other volunteer things. I don't know what else I'm supposed to say, but that's...
Nothing. I mean, what I said in the email we sent out last Sunday was that if you... You know, you can say whatever you want. You got 2 minutes, but you might want to talk about hobbies that you have. And what I also, and I said, and, you know, since all of us have low vision or no vision, you don't have to worry telling us about that because we already know. And so then I said that they could, there was something else that I said that they could do.
I want to share about Mary Jo. The one thing she didn't tell you, I know that blindness is nothing that we're supposed to be really focusing on because we all are here for that, but she and her husband raised their children totally blind, and now she's a grandmother and does the same thing for her grandkids. So all the power to Mary Jo. Good job, Mary Jo.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else who did not introduce themselves? Maybe everybody did who's here.
I don't know, it's a lively discussion. I love these chat sessions.
I do too.
They're really helpful and everybody gets to hear and listen and ask questions. And I love the fact that no one has said, "Is this a silly question?" But because there are no silly questions. It's really good. It's how you learn, right? So let's see how the time is going here. 2:48.
Okay. Well, not too much longer.
No. Judy, I'm going to take a 10-minute skate because I'm going to get a refurbish on my filtered water here. And
all
I'll be right back.
Yep.
I'll be right up. So you have you can take the floor for a few minutes.
Anybody else want to tell a story? You've got 10 minutes. but we're probably not going to let you tell a story that's 10 minutes. But you've got a shorter one.
Well, this is Shelley. I just had one thought when we were talking about the cane travel stuff this morning. This happened to me. That's what I'll say is I was in those early stages of losing vision and didn't think I wanted to be noticed. It would point me out too much and on and on and on. But I always had to show up early if you were meeting somebody, because I had to allow for me to find where I needed to meet them. And I wanted to be first so that it didn't look like I had any problems. Well, there was that aspect of it. And so I felt like using my cane, I learned through training and that you actually using my cane explained a lot of things to people, and that was helpful. They didn't have a lot of odd thoughts about you because now they knew it was your vision that was an issue. And the other thing I heard one time was you can also do a little window shopping if you've got a cane, because I always looked down where my feet were and I could have walked into many kinds of unfortunate things. But if you have your cane, you've got that in front of you and can walk down the sidewalk. And if you happen to be able to see into a window of a store or something, then your cane is still protecting you and you're still using your cane. So those are a few little just tidbits that might help people that are struggling with, why would I want to use a cane? Anyway.
So. Well, I can tell you a funny story. I don't know that I thought it was funny at the time that happened. You know, my rule about when to use a cane is whenever I'm leaving my apartment, I take a cane. Even though I know my apartment building well, people can put things in my way and I can be responsible for me and they don't have to be. So one day I picked up a lot of packages from the mailbox. I was carrying them and I had my cane and I was sort of using it. And so I went to the elevator and I pressed the button and went up. And then I went down the hall. On all the floors, the halls are the same and the numbers go in the same order, just the first number changes for your floor. And I went and I had not locked my door because I knew I'd have my hands full. So I got there and I opened the door and I walked in and I thought, this is different. What's wrong? And I had the packages and I automatically put my cane in my corner, in the corner the minute I come in the apartment. So I had done that and I had my hands full and I thought, this is different furniture. And so I was in the wrong apartment and I realized it right away. And I quickly left the apartment and I found out what floor I was on by looking at the elevators, you know, the numbers. And then I went. And it was maybe, and I have more than one cane because if I ever broke one. So I didn't think of it right away. But a couple of days later, I thought, where's my other cane? I left that apartment in such a hurry that I left it there in the corner. Now I'm so embarrassed that I have to tell whoever's apartment this is that they have my cane. And I was so embarrassed about it, but also it struck me very funny. And so I went and knocked on their door and I said, excuse me, I know this is going to sound a little strange, but can you tell me, if you look to your right in that corner, do you see a white cane there? And he looked and he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, that's mine. And, you know, both of us need to learn to lock our doors.
Yeah.
And that's a hoot. Did he take it well? Did he take it well?
Yes, he did. Well, he was still floored by the time I left laughing. But yes, he did. He took it very well. And,
oh, good.
and actually, I wrote an article about it. It was in a Minnesota newsletter, Minnesota NFB newsletter.
Oh, that's a hoot. That's a hoot.
Judy, I have a similar story. I was visiting a friend, and I'm learning how to cane do it more effectively. And one of the things that I was instructed is you look for the entrance to a doorway. You can usually tell what it is. So I'm leaving my friend's home or apartment, and I'm going down the hallway, and I'm caning, and I'm doing a good job, and I'm feeling confident. And then I reached a place that there was an opening. So I walked in the opening. I ended up by going into somebody else's apartment. Really did not know that I did that. Apologized profusely. But yeah, it's an eerie feeling, isn't it, when you end up in somebody else's apartment?
It is, but I've had people do it here in this building when I've left my door open, and they are not blind. I mean, they are blind. No, they're not blind, and they do it. So yeah. I'm not sure, you know.
Must happen to all of us at some point.
Yep.
Hello.
I have something to say. Hello. This is Mary Jo.
Okay, Mary Jo, there's a gentleman who didn't say his name.
I didn't
I'm sorry. Sure, he can go first.
And if he'll, who's the gentleman
this is Bill.
First?
This is Bill, and I just wanted to talk about the vulnerability issue that we talked about during the CANE meeting this morning. And I realized there are two sides to that vulnerability. Yes, you are more vulnerable when you're using a white cane. I mean, people do know that you have vision loss. On the other side of that coin, though, is the fact that you're vulnerable to falls and other kinds of things. And so I had a couple experiences as well. One was I was walking in Westchester going in to do some business to see my state representative. And I noticed that it was a brick sidewalk and a brick stair and a brick landing. And I said to myself, remember that for when you come out. I was using my white cane. I went into the office. Did the business, came out, forgot all about what I had said to myself. And as I'm walking down towards the steps, as I get to the steps, I hear the clunk of my cane. And I said, yes, I have to remember there's a step here. So the cane really saved me in that case. There was another time I was walking in town.
Wait, I'm gonna want to hold the other story.
Okay.
There was someone else. Mary Jo, you wanted to say something quickly.
We only have
a couple of minutes.
Oh, this will be quick. I have had to go to the National Center in Baltimore for training because I used to help with the Bell program. And that's a really impossible place to get around. And I always used to try to follow somebody because I didn't want to be the last one in, because I think one day I was the last one in because I got lost. But they had a lot of different, you know, they had a lot of cubby holes and a lot of doors and stuff like that. And it's almost inevitable because sometimes people that can see, they have trouble getting around there because it's a whole block
matter.
Building.
Yep, that means it doesn't matter if you can get lost, blind or sighted. All right, was there one more person? I thought there was one more person. Well, you guys, we have, let me see.
3 minutes.
Okay, so yes. Is there anybody else who has something they'd like to say?
Oh, Bill had part.
Thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate your participation. For more information, contact President Glenn Crosby at nfbseniors@gmail.com or call 443-681-9345. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.